I'm Chris Rubbelo for the California Healthcare Foundation. Dr. Molly Coy is the Chief Executive Officer of the Health Technology Center. Health Tech, as it's most commonly known, is a not-for-profit organization dedicated to advancing the use of beneficial technologies for healthier people and communities. Health Tech is located in San Francisco and is the incubator for CalRIO, the California Regional Health Information Organization. Molly, what's the current state of affairs for CalRIO?
Well, frankly, I've been very surprised and very pleased. We started in January of this year, and we thought we would never be this far this fast. We've got all of the key stakeholders in California at the table working together, and we're making real progress in planning for concrete projects, and we've raised $5 million to support these initial efforts. So it's been a tremendous success.
So when I've done stories on other RIOs and I've talked to folks who are involved in regional efforts, governance often shows its head as the really sticky issue when it comes to deciding how these things are going to work. What's the outlook for governance as far as CalRIO goes?
That's when one of the things that has been most surprising to us is that I think because there have been other efforts in California in the past, most of the major parties, the groups that have been involved in healthcare for a long time, have already thrashed through a lot of those issues. So we have already come to agreement about the governance for CalRIO going forward, and it's going to become an independent nonprofit, 501c3, organization starting in January. Health Tech has just been the incubator.
So that will start this coming January?
Yes.
And who is going to sit on this governance board?
The governance board will be fairly large, somewhat similar to the new foundations that formed when the health plans converted to for-profit organizations, and that spun off a lot of money for some community foundations. The same model essentially is going to be used, so it'll be around 17 to 19 people, and it will be very broadly representative with lots of consumer representation, representation of different types of workers in healthcare, and of hospitals and health plans and employers, and it's a long list because you have a big board in order to do that.
Then let's talk about infrastructure necessary for statewide health data exchange. What's the status of that part of the project?
Well, we have done just now, and people listening to this can go to our website, CalRIO, CalRHIO.org, and see this. We've just done an inventory of all of the efforts in California currently going on to set up or run data exchange, and there's quite a bit going on. So we still have a very big challenge to knit together all of the state, but there are places like Santa Cruz that have been essentially functioning as a RIO for some time now, quite successfully, where doctors and hospitals and health plans and laboratories are all exchanging information.
So you have places like Santa Cruz. You also have Santa Barbara, which is peer-to-peer technology. I'm more familiar with the Santa Barbara project, and I'm assuming that all these different little RIOs are going to do things different technologically. What's the plan for having all of that work together?
Well, part of the plan is the leadership that the feds are taking. David Brailer's office for the National Coordinator for IT for the country is actually later in September going to be announcing the award of six contracts to different large firms around the country to establish the big pipelines that everybody will connect to. So some of this work we don't have to redo in California, and many of those grants that the feds give out will actually be operating in California, linking up various providers and regions within California. What we have to do is make sure that this actually does advance and that security and confidentiality and consumer interests as well as healthcare provider interests are all protected in this, and that we have something that could sustain itself over time and work well with confidence.
Well, that's great. It sounds like all good news. What's been the most difficult part of this project? Has there been a most difficult part?
Oh, boy, yes. The most difficult part is really the answering the questions about technology. The technology is there. As I said, Santa Cruz has been up and going for some time. Santa Barbara is about to come up. And a number of large hospital-based delivery systems are essentially small Rios in themselves. So it's not that the technology isn't there or that the technology is terribly difficult, but because each hospital system, each community has a different take on this, a different type that they're using, connecting it all up, making the decisions about who's going to compromise on what in order to make this all work together, that's going to be the toughest part. But I have to say, all of the important groups are coming to the table with goodwill at this point, and that's been the most exciting part of this because it makes it seem possible that we'll have real progress.
Molly, California is a huge state. Is that a plus? Is it a minus? Let's talk just about what sets California apart as we look at this kind of a project.
California is one-tenth of the country, so it is absolutely huge. And there's no question, if we were Rhode Island or Vermont or even mid-size like Michigan, it would be an awful lot easier than it is here in California. It's just a much bigger task. On the other hand, we have tremendous resources, unfortunately not so much in the way of financing, but just because the state doesn't have a lot of resources that way. But we do because with Silicon Valley and San Diego and the area around Davis, we've got a lot of information technology and communications technology experts and pioneering and large companies, and that gives us a tremendous head start.
Let's talk about emergency preparedness. Obviously, everybody is concerned about Hurricane Katrina and the reality of possible emergencies right here in California. Is that giving some urgency to what your group is doing?
It's quite remarkable how much of a push Katrina and now, of course, Rita is giving to the need for electronic medical records and connectivity, because it isn't going to do you any good if your electronic medical record is stuck in a hospital that gets flooded. You need to have it be portable in the sense of have it be backed up electronically in another state or another couple of states. So it definitely is providing a major push. Thinking through how rapidly we can bring up some of this is preoccupying everybody. There's a lot of hard work going on right now to figure out, well, how can we translate this into real gains for patients in the next 90 days, the next year.
Do you have any plans for that? I mean, is there anything that you think is going to be possible in the shorter term?
The first thing that I think is possible, even at a community level or for a consumer themselves, is to establish a personal health record. Most of the personal health records are online, and in the very beginning, they consist just of what the patient puts into the record. But more and more medical groups and health plans in California are starting to develop relationships with these personal health record companies so that if I go online and fill in my health history as much as I know of it, they will actually funnel their data in too. So my laboratory data and my diagnoses and my prescriptions will actually all show up on my personal health record. That's the key, because then whatever happens to me, if I wind up in another state or another city or injured and they need my medical history, they'll be able to get that.
So that's your advice to folks, is to sign up for one of these online services.
Yes.
And then at some point, will those be folded into the Rio effort?
It's one of our five projects. The things that we're working on are trying to increase use of personal health records in California for the reasons we just talked about. The first project, the top of the list, is to link all the emergency departments in the state. And we actually decided on that before Katrina or Rita because it just made sense to us that when people are in dire circumstances is exactly when you need to make sure that you can get all the information that you need. And some of the health plans may actually be able to contribute their information to the emergency room setting too so that we'll have better information.
So what is the status of the project linking hospital emergency departments?
We have gotten agreement from most of the major hospital systems in the state that they want to participate in this and that they will contribute substantial expertise because most of them have fairly large information technology staffs. And we're embarking on the process to actually figure out what system or systems we could use as the interconnection between all of the hospitals. But since this already exists in some parts of the country and some parts of the state, we think that this is a project where we'll actually be up and going within a year. Not necessarily with every emergency room, but we'll have the first big group of them connected.
Another project on CalRio's agenda is supporting enhanced safety and medication management. What can you say about that?
This is the big win, even more than disaster preparedness. If you look at the health of the people in California in a 10-year sweep, more people are damaged, their health is damaged, or there are opportunities for good health lost because we don't know what medication somebody is on or because they're not managed well. This has the greatest potential for improving health and for cutting cost of care in not only California, but any part of the country. Unfortunately, it's also the hardest thing to do because lots of doctors' offices are not yet connected up to other doctors and hospitals, et cetera. So we are going to have to probably take longer to accomplish this than we'd like because we have to help doctors with the financing and technical assistance so that they can get onto the information superhighway.
Another one of your projects is entitled Improving the Efficiency of Administrative Functions for Plans.
I know that sounds like administrative gobbledygook, but what this means is essentially, if you think of as a patient going into a doctor's office and for the umpteenth millionth time filling in one of those forms and how frustrating that is, well, just think every time you fill in that form, then their staff has to type a lot of things in. And then they have to send a fax or a communication to the health plan to find out if you're actually eligible. There is so much paperwork and bureaucracy in healthcare that our administrative costs are way higher than most other developing countries. And a big key to bringing down those costs to being more efficient is having this done electronically.
Timing. Can you give us any idea, any sense of when an actual statewide infrastructure and connection might be happening?
Boy, that's a tough question, although we ask ourselves all the time. Our goal, I would say, is to have 80 to 90% of all of the important groups, meaning doctors, hospitals, laboratories, nursing homes, home care agencies, and consumers who want to be electronically connected within a decade. Now, that's been a shifting target because some of us said that 4 or 5 years ago. So we hope we will make it. It's sort of the 80-20 rule. We probably could do that for about 80% of everybody, and the last 20% is always the hardest to get.
Well, when I read some of your literature, you talk about a collaborative effort to incrementally build the technology. So the emergency room is the first part of it. Then how do you think it's going to roll out?
Well, I think that the emergency room will be the first, and I think right almost at the same time we'll see a tremendous increase in uptake of personal health records. I think that we'll see some of the communities and some of the big hospital-based delivery systems that have a lot of health data now that would be very valuable will be starting to connect. So within 3 or 4 years, about 40% of patients' records in the state will start to really get connected. So we'll see a fair amount of progress. We'll see real progress on some of the medication issues. But to get to the point where you can confidently assume when you go into your doctor's office or an emergency room that all the data will be there, that's going to take a while.
In California, Molly, Kaiser is such a huge player. Talk about their involvement with CalRio. Are they involved? They're building out their own electronic medical record. How is that impacting the state effort?
Well, in the first place, Kaiser clearly is going to be a mini Rio all on their own in the sense that they internally, when their full electronic medical record comes up, which is scheduled for in some parts of the state, I believe next year, and most of the state by the year after, they will, in fact, serve as a Rio for their patients unless the patient goes outside of Kaiser. In addition to that, Kaiser has been one of our generous sponsors. Our very first founding sponsor was Sutter, which is another large healthcare system in the state. Many of the listeners will know them. They contributed $1 million, and then Kaiser contributed $1 million, and WellPoint Health Plan has contributed $1 million, and then Blue Shield has contributed $1 million, along with $500,000 from the California Healthcare Foundation. So it's very clear to these leading health systems and health plans that it's critically important for safety and quality and just efficient care that we really need to have this done. And so we're very pleased to have the generosity from Sutter and Kaiser and WellPoint and Blue Shield.
And then, are you in contact or learning from other RIOs around the country? How are you connecting with federal efforts or efforts from other parts of the country?
Well, definitely we are, because there are, frankly, other states that are ahead of us. And so it's been, even though it's too bad that we weren't first out of the block, on the other hand, we get to learn a lot from them. And so we work both directly with those other states and also through the eHealth Initiative, which is the national leadership group, and another nonprofit that we helped to get started here in California called Help Alliant, which also helps a lot of communities and state organizations get up and going. And those are both great sources of information if your listeners are interested in following up on this.
So are there other RIOs around the country that you're particularly impressed with?
Well, I think the top of the list has to be Massachusetts, if you look at state efforts, because they really are getting a lot of traction. They got huge contributions from state health plans towards the adoption of CPOE, which is the way for doctors to electronically order the prescriptions and other medical orders in a hospital. In addition to that, though, there are places like the eastern half of Washington State around Spokane, where more than 32 hospitals and all the other health providers are all connected up. And somewhat like Santa Cruz, they've had a RIO going. It's just nobody knew to call them a RIO. So there are about four or five places around the country that really have accomplished something very important to study.
So at this point, do you have consumers involved in this? Why should consumers care about CalRIO? I mean, I understand right now there's a lot of policy, there's a lot of technical stuff. What's the plan for getting consumers involved?
Well, right now we do have consumer representation on all of our different key bodies, and going forward for the independent nonprofit CalRIO, they will have a role on the board and in the governance of that organization. But I think your question is a broader one of why consumers should care and be interested. And I think it's absolutely critical. If you think about how important it is to you about what happens to your healthcare information, there's a big survey on consumer attitudes to electronic health data that the California Healthcare Foundation did once several years ago and is about to release a second round of it. And I think this will provide a lot of information for us about consumer preferences and attitudes. But what it shows is that consumers do want coordinated care. They want their care to make sense. And if having data available to doctors and hospitals to exchange for their care supports that, then they do think this is worthwhile doing.
Is there anything I haven't asked you that you want to say about CalRIO?
Just that this is an enormous undertaking, and how grateful I am and those leading the CalRIO effort are for the participation and support of so many of the health leaders around the state. Without leadership from the hospital association, the medical association, from the health plans, without their direct support and involvement in a relatively technical, complicated subject, we would never make the progress we have. So I'm just very grateful for that.
And continued funding, what's going to be the need as you move forward with this?
Well, our theory on this, yet to be proven, is that we should not continue to try to support this just by charitable donations, which is what's supported it so far, but that as we bring up specific projects like medication management, administrative efficiencies, and the emergency room linkage, that we should actually demonstrate the savings that can be accomplished by this, and therefore the parties that would benefit will help in the financing. And this approach has worked in several other communities around the country. And in fact, once they understand how much it will help them, health plans, hospitals, government, both private and public payers, step forward and take their share of the burden. Because in the end, this not only improves quality and safety, but in almost every case, it's a tremendous improvement in the efficiency of care.
So CalRio is going to be the largest Rio in the country, right?
Yes, although we're sort of an umbrella Rio, so it's not exactly a good comparison, because in a small state like Wyoming or Rhode Island, the Rio actually operates all the connectivity. In mid-sized states like Michigan, or big ones like Texas and California, we expect there will be Rios in many different communities, and that our job is to link them up and provide state leadership. So what we call this is being an umbrella Rio, so that we include all of the local initiatives.
For the California Healthcare Foundation, this is Chris Rubelo.